Everyone, welcome back to Refuge Podcast. I'm your host, John Lanier. And on season six, we've been going through a series on prayer and fasting. And so I have a book that I've been reading. It's called Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney. It's been meeting me where I'm at. During this episode, I will give you just a brief explanation about my health condition and the fact that the Lord is working through it, and this book has been very helpful as I've been on a journey through 2 Corinthians, looking at it and praying through it, and the Lord has just been faithful to minister that to me in this season. But we're going to look at a couple of highlights as we've been doing from each of these books on prayer and fasting, and gleaning what we can from them, and trying to just encounter the Lord as we go through this series. One of the things that I found fascinating about this book is he talks a lot about the problem that we have whenever we go to our prayer closet, whatever you want to call it, prayer closet, or just before the Lord in prayer. And sometimes we repeat these prayers over and over, the same things. Prayer gets mundane. Prayer begins to bog down because we don't feel like we have enough things to pray about or not sure what to pray about. But I just want to share a few things from this book. I won't make it a real long video because I feel like it's so applicable to a lot of Christians, whether you're new in the faith or you're walking with the Lord for a really long time. Prayer can sometimes be that thing that we feel like, well, can I ever overcome this where I feel like prayer is getting repetitive? And I know Jesus doesn't want us just to pray mindless, repetitive prayers. He wants us to engage on a deep level. He wants us to share our heart, share our mind, share what's going on in our life, share what's going on physically, and engage in this beautiful relationship with the Lord. And so what he covers is the problem, which is, you know, you feel like you're in a rut. But then he talks about the solution. And he talks about it in the sense of our method. Maybe it's your method, the way you're approaching it. And it's just like the title talks about, praying through the scriptures. And he gives you some helpful keys in here. So I want to cover that. But he mentions something here in the first part about the problem. He talks about, when someone is born again, the Holy Spirit gives that person new fatherward desires. I love that. A new heavenward orientation whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's so true as we engage in this thing called prayer and fasting. Keep in mind that it's a relationship. God desires on the deepest level that we engage him from our heart, sharing life and doing life with him. And so one of the problems he talks about is our minds tend to wander. Some of us, we feel like, man, there's just something wrong. He said, the method of most Christians is prayer is to say the same old things about the same old things. After 40 years of experience in ministry, I'm convinced that this problem is almost universal. Virtually from the beginning of their Christian life, it seems that nearly every believer suffers from this habit. But I'm going to get right into, let me take you to the method. Because we all know about the problems that we face. It's maybe why you've come and listened to this episode of the podcast. Like, oh, prayer series. Let me see what maybe I can glean new. Or if you're like me in prayer, you feel like, I want it to be alive. I want vibrancy in my walk with Jesus. And I hear the way Jesus talks about prayer, and I see the way people prayed in the Old Testament, New Testament. And I just desire that. And so he uses the Psalms as a blueprint. And this is what I've been doing. I've been praying through the Psalms this whole month, and I'll continue to pray through the Psalms the rest of the year and continue to go through the Psalms so that I can grow in my prayer life. But he quotes Gordon Wenham when he says, the Psalms are designed to be prayed. And so he uses Psalm 23. And so if you want to turn there, I'm going to turn there as a grid in which we can pray and engage in this prayer life together with the Lord. So Psalm 23, I'm going to read just a few verses here. It's a short little psalm. It may be a good place for you to start. That's what I've been doing. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so what he teaches in this, in the method of going through the scriptures, and as you're reading, maybe it's in your devotional life, you're just reading, and you're thinking about, maybe if you're married, your spouse or your children, grandchildren, people in your life, cousins, aunts, uncles, your parents, you know, just people that you pray for normally. And even beyond that, maybe your church and the people that you hang out with on a daily. Maybe God has given you a heart for the nations and people. You pray like this. He said, just go through and say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so you start praying over each of those people. And this is the way I would do it. I'll just give you an example. I'll say, "Lord, today I come before you, and you are my shepherd. I glorify you today as the chief shepherd in my life," as Peter says. "And I pray for Brandy that she would know you as shepherd today, that she would sense in her heart that this, she has no want in you, and that she would not try to follow after other things that would pull for her affection today, that she would run to you as the shepherd." And I pray that for my kids. I pray that for Jacob and Lily and Titus and Liam and Madison and Darren and Jenny and Trenton and Jordan. Lord, I pray that they would know you as chief shepherd, that they would know you and not want. And then you just go through and begin to pray each of these things for the people that you know and love, and you want to see them grow in their faith. Maybe someone in your family doesn't know the Lord, and you say, "Lord, I pray that they would surrender to you as shepherd. I pray that they would see you, Jesus, as the one who can save and deliver by your blood, by your resurrection, by everything that you've done on their behalf, fulfilling the law and the commands and the prophets." And just go through it like that. That gives a little bit of an example of what he's talking about, praying through the scriptures. Another thing he talks about confidence in the Word and Spirit. He says, "I have confidence in the Word and the Spirit of God to believe that if people will pray in this way, in the long run, their prayers will be far more biblical than if they just make up their own prayers." That's what people usually do. They make up their own prayers. Well, what's the result? We tend to say the same old things about the same old things. And without the scripture to shape our prayers, we are far more likely to pray in unbiblical ways than if we pray the thoughts that occur to us as we read the scriptures. So while it's true that people may use this method and pray about things that are not found in the text, I contend that will happen much less if people will pray while reading the text. By this means, the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to help the people of God pray increasingly according to the will of God. I'm not going to cover much more than that. I think that's really, really what I gathered from the whole book, was the method needs to change. Coming back to the scriptures, back to the Word of God, spending time in it, going through the Psalms if you have to, or I'm going to share for a second here from 2 Corinthians for my own life and how I'm praying certain things with what I'm going through physically. But to get back to the Word, let the Word of God be what speaks into our heart and what we speak out of our heart to the Lord. and just watching our prayer life become vibrant again through that is what it does, is it gives so much material. Now I can go to the Word and say, Lord, today I'm feeling weary. Would you please help me to lie down in green pastures? Please lead me beside still waters. Restore my soul. Lead me into paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that I might live according to your name, that your name would be on my heart and my mind, that your name would be what I glorify through my life and what I'm going through. And as I learn, Lord, to lie down in green pastures, help me to be satisfied in that, that I would find contentment. And just, there you go, down a trail of contentment and praying that into your life and praying over others. And it just goes on and on and on. The whole point is to getting back to the scriptures to help us to ignite our prayer life. Now, I just want to share briefly about what the Lord's been doing in me. If you listen to the update I gave on my medical condition, so I was diagnosed with melanoma, stage 1B, 2A, about probably a month and a half ago. I recently had surgery about a week and a half ago. I'm cancer-free, thank God, but I'm going through the process of trying to heal physically from the big surgery that I had in three different places. And so I'm in this place, in this season, where I'm pretty much just like, okay, I'm having a hard time walking, my mobility's limited, but Lord, show me what you want to do in my life. Show me how I can, as my wife and I talked about the other day, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And as time's going by, help me to like just to rest in the promises that you have and what you want to do in my life. Show me. And so I've been hanging out in 2 Corinthians quite a bit. I wanted to share with you. Let me go to, I've been all over it. It's been really great, because the Lord's been ministering a lot through the circumstances I've been going through. Like chapter 4, therefore having this ministry, what ministry? The ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of the new covenant that Paul talked about in chapter 3. We do not, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And then I went to chapter 5 and began to pray this over my life. Well, let me go back. So chapter 4, I just mean to pray, Lord, help me to not lose heart, that I'd walk in the Spirit, that I wouldn't allow my heart to grow weary with the suffering, and to encourage my own heart in the scripture that Paul was sharing here. He says in chapter 5, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I feel like that's been the theme for me, to walk by faith, not by what I see in front of me, the challenges that I'm facing mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and just praying that over my life. Lord, you've given me the Spirit. Help me to walk by faith, not by sight. Then let me share one more with you of how I use the method of praying the scripture. There's so many. I don't want to make this episode real long. Let me go back up to top of chapter 5. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, and I've been doing a lot of groaning with the suffering. My heart goes out to people that are dealing with cancer, melanoma, because the groans are real, and it's very difficult to be able to have to walk through this situation. And so my heart goes out to them. And so I began to pray for people that are struggling with cancer and pray, Lord, help me as I groan. I long to be in my heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on the way, not be found, it on we may be not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And so, yeah, I don't want to go into too much because I know it can get pretty lengthy, but just wanted to share a little bit about how that book by Donald Whitney has been just transformative for me in praying through things that I'm reading, just in my normal daily biblical devotion that I spend before the Lord, that we groan. And so I'm praying, Lord, as I groan, help me to see that I'm going to, this mortality is going to be put off, and one day I'll be immortal and have, I mean, just the beauty of that promise that death is going to be swallowed up one day, and that I have a building from God that's eternal in the heavens. I just had to read it again. The mortality is going to be swallowed up by life. And that is a beautiful promise. Thank you, Lord, for that promise that I will be with you forever in my new body. And I won't have to deal with this forever. And then I can come to the scriptures and pray through them and read those promises over my heart and allow that to shape me. Because I want my heart to be shaped by the scripture, by what God's word says, because God's word is true. And it's the most true thing that we can read and know, especially as we go through these challenges. Because sometimes we can look at even suffering that we go through, and it can be something that is something to deter us from God, and the enemy uses it in that way. Well, surely if there was a good God, he wouldn't allow this type of suffering. And yet God is able to take our suffering, this momentary suffering, this tent that's being ready to be folded up and done away with, and remind us, it's a reminder that this is not our home, that we have a home in eternity, and that we're headed that direction. And these pains and these aches and these groans and the suffering are all preparing us for the things that are coming in the future. In the beauty of walking in fellowship with God forever, there's just nothing that can replace that. So let me pray for you, and then I pray that your day is just blessed by the Lord. Father, thank you for those that have taken time to listen. I pray that you'd bless their time, that you'd maximize their time in prayer as they take up this book, the scripture, and as they read. And maybe they'll pick up the Donald Whitney book, praying through the Bible, or praying the Bible. God, that you would reach into their hearts and transform their prayer life, that it might be vibrant and that it might enjoy talking with you, maximizing time in the car and laying down on the bed and sitting at home, and wherever they're at, they can take up the scriptures, maybe memorize scripture or open the word, and be able to glean and learn and grow in their prayer life with you. Amen.